They have been used to a particular method, which is to poison and shoot and trap dingoes, and they have been doing this for decades. And to suddenly say, I'm putting the gun down, can be very difficult for people. It can feel like you're just, so I'm just what, just going to let them kill my livestock? I'm not going to do anything? What if I even see them attacking my livestock? What am I going to do?
Was there a time or a farmer that you were speaking to who wanted to engage in more predator-friendly practices, but they were either reluctant to or were worried that they weren't able to do that?
Yes. Funny, and two cases come to my mind now that you're asking it.
This is Ariane Wallach. Over the past couple of years, Ariane has spent a lot of time on farms. She's been working with farmers, but not milking the cows or grazing the fields. She was trying to change their attitudes towards dingoes and make their farms predator-friendly.
In both cases, the owner and the person in charge inherited the management of this large station, but the parents were still on the farm and still had some final say. In two cases, the young couple now taking over the management of the station said, yes, this actually makes a lot of sense to us. This is very modern. This is very logical. And then within a few days, they say, oh, well, I spoke to my dad, and dad doesn't allow it.
Predator-friendly farming ultimately aims to protect livestock while not killing native predators like dingoes. Guardian dogs, keeping livestock in inaccessible areas when they're younger, and employing range riders to watch over herds are just some of the non-lethal alternatives of predator-friendly farming. But as Ariane says, these are all things that cost time and money.
There are challenges for farmers in adopting and transitioning to predator-friendly practices. For example, there's virtually no support for them. All of the resources, government resources and industry resources that go into reducing predation focus on killing dingoes. There's very little support for transitioning to non-lethal options. There are also social problems. So farmers that choose not to kill dingoes can be socially ostracized. And when you're living on a place like we were living at, where our nearest neighbor is between 50 and 100 kilometers away, and these neighbors are the people that you rely on to rescue you if you're stuck out somewhere for hours, it can be very difficult for farmers to just tell their neighbors, well, I'm going to be the one farmer that's not going to kill dingoes. But what we're finding is that the best non-lethal method to protecting cattle from dingo predation is to stop killing dingoes. And why would that even be a sensible method? And that is because dingoes are social animals. They form families, and these families hold territories. And when a cattle station has socially stable dingo packs or dingo families, that each family is holding their own territories. These territories are very large. They can be like 100 square kilometers. Those dingoes are keeping other dingoes away, and their behavior is predictable. Their predation rate goes down. It's when they're poison baited and shot and trapped, that's when their social structure breaks down. You have very young dingoes growing up without their families. Their ability to hunt properly is going to be diminished. One of the most dangerous places for dingoes in Australia is inside national parks rather than just inside sheep farms.
Why is that? Why is it more dangerous for them in those parks?
Currently, conservation in Australia relies heavily on 1080 poison baiting or poison baiting with other toxins. And the reason why national parks are poison baited, it will say on the sign that it's targeting foxes. But there's no difference between a poison bait for a fox and a poison bait for a dingo.
I've always wondered that, because it's how could other animals not also go after those baits?
Right. And foxes and dingoes are particularly susceptible to poisoning by 1080. That is the drug of choice for killing both dingoes and foxes. In New South Wales, a dingo is considered legitimate wildlife and protected. How can you put 1080 poison in a place where you know you're going to be killing dingoes? And the way we do that is by calling them wild dogs. And the way we call them wild dogs is by saying, well, some of them have a great, 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 great aunt who had sex with a German shepherd. And so that dingo is now no longer legitimate wildlife. They're some hybrid mongrel non-native species. It's the way we frame how we talk about animals and even species. There are similarities between how we talk about dingoes and their purity and how we have historically spoken about people and races and purity. In this particular example is a place called Burraduk. It's just north of Newcastle, and it is in one of the most beautiful places I've seen anywhere in the world. Her farm is absolutely gorgeous. It is close to the ocean from which you can see whales, and there are dingoes there, and there are massive lakes, and it's just an extraordinarily beautiful place. It is also a very heavily poison baited region. And she's one of the few, not the only, but one of the few farmers in that region that is predator friendly. And she is starting to have some influence on her neighbors.
So that means that, I guess, she's seeing less predation?
Well, from my understanding of what she's described, she virtually has no problems with dingoes at all. But there was this one period when she did have problems, and that just went to show how much she needed guardian dogs. And that was when one of her important guardian dog was on maternity leave. She had just had pups, and so she was not with the flock, and she was on vacation at home. And during that period, she was telling me about calf losses. Of course, how do you deal then with a situation like that? If you have a dog on maternity leave, do you then maybe have to have more dogs, or do you...
have a temp?
Yes, or exactly, yeah, a babysitter for the time being. But it's a very different kind of environment. So the cattle, that she has also buffalo. They make their own wonderful cheeses, and they're not killing wildlife, not dingoes, not kangaroos, which are another persecuted wild animal on farms, not anything. And I mean it in no offense. Dingoes are puppy dogs.
Why are they puppy dogs?
They're a 20-kilogram canid. They are not aggressive. They do have this capacity to look you in the eye and really see you, and it's easy. They move like the most amazing martial artists, athletes. So I would consider them a non-dangerous animal. Even there's probably more of a chance of being harmed by a cow.